Well, last week we started talking about this subject of spiritual gifts, and we defined what we mean by spiritual gifts, what they are, and we noted several different things about them. First of all, we said that they're common to every believer. That means if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, then you have a spiritual gift or gifts. Secondly, we said that they're supernatural in nature. In other words, we're not simply talking about our natural talents and abilities here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit working through His people, working through you in a way that only God Himself can receive the honor and the glory. Third, we said that the spiritual gifts are distributed to us according to the will of the Holy Spirit. And not everyone has the same gift. There's a specific purpose for the gift that God has given you. And the reason for such a diversity of gifts is, number four, that God intends for us to use our gifts to build up the body of Christ. As part of the body of Christ, you have a role. You have a specific mission to fulfill. And God has gifted you specifically for that purpose. And finally, we learned that these gifts will only be beneficial to the body of Christ when they are exercised in love. Love is the key. Without it, the spiritual gifts are empty. They're meaningless. So today, we're going to dig into that question, how do I discover my spiritual gifts? But before we do that, I've got a couple of things that I want to address. And one of the things is, I just want to very quickly touch on the different kinds of gifts that are talked about in Scripture. Now, last week I mentioned that there are three primary passages of Scripture that speak specifically to this subject of the spiritual gifts. There's Romans chapter 12, the passage that Pastor Jordan read from this morning. And then there's Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a little bit of a unique perspective on a particular type of spiritual gift. And then there's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which was the passage that we looked at last week. And in that passage, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Now, I think you may have picked up on it here, but there's a word that's repeated a couple of times in this passage. It's the word varieties, okay? What Paul is saying here is that there are different kinds of ministries and activities in the church. There are different ways that you and I can serve. And the Spirit of God gives us different kinds of gifts that enable us to fulfill our specific role. So, here's the interesting thing. If we take these three passages of Scripture where Paul lists the spiritual gifts, and if we look at each one of them separately, individually, you'll notice something interesting. You'll see that they fall into three distinct categories, I would say. For instance, take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes this. He says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Now, those gifts that Paul lists here, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, these are what we would call ministry gifts or administrative gifts. They sound a little bit more like titles than actual gifts, don't they? But this is what Paul is saying here. He's saying that God has gifted certain members of the body of Christ to serve in these leadership roles. And for what purpose? Well, he says, to equip the saints, that's you, that's all of us here, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. In other words, my job as a shepherd, as a pastor, is to help you discover your spiritual gift and then train you to use them for the building up of the body. All right, so these are the ministry gifts. The second category of gifts are what I would call the motivational gifts, or the gifts of exhortation. All right, these are the gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12, that passage that Pastor Jordan read for us. And you'll notice that These gifts, when they're being used in the body of Christ, they motivate and encourage believers to grow deeper in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. Now, the gifts that are listed in this passage are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and acts of mercy. And if you look at all of these things on this list, if you see all of these gifts, when they're being exercised in the church, they will produce a healthy environment, one that's conducive for spiritual growth. I mean, we look at this list of gifts and we say, this is what we need in the church. We need to have these gifts. The last category of spiritual gifts, however, is the most controversial. Okay, these are the ones that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, if we stuck strictly to the gifts in Ephesians 4 and in Romans chapter 12, there'd really be no controversy whatsoever about spiritual gifts. But listen to verse 8 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Now, you look at this particular list of gifts, and these are the gifts that kind of make everybody feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? I mean, these are the gifts that if we saw these gifts being exercised openly and readily in the church today, you know, we'd all feel like we were at a Benny Hinn crusade, all right? These are what I would call the manifestation or sign gifts. You remember last week we talked about that word manifestation? Paul uses that right here in this passage. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. You remember what that word means? It means to make clear or visible, to bring into the light. In other words, this is the obvious purpose of these gifts. These gifts exist to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's people, working through us. But here's the thing. Paul says that these gifts are to be exercised in love for the common good. In other words, they're good for the body of Christ. Now, let me address a couple of controversial questions that I think go along with this. They're most often associated with these particular gifts, the sign gifts. And one of those questions is this: are all of the gifts of the Spirit for today? Are they still part of the church today? And there's a reason that this question is out there, and that's because there are some who believe and teach that the sign gifts were no longer necessary after the age of the apostles. All right? So think about it. The church was already established. The books of the New Testament had been written. Okay? They'd been completed. The gospel had already spread throughout the known world at that time. So these gifts were simply no longer needed. Now, there's a problem that I have with this perspective, and that is that it's an interpretation based upon perception. In other words, if I look around me and I see, I don't notice these gifts being used or exercised that readily in the church today, at least not in my church, you know? And it only makes sense that some of these gifts really wouldn't be necessary today. But here's the thing I want to make clear, and that is any time that we take a theological position on anything, we have to be absolutely sure that the foundation for that teaching is built upon Scripture, that we have a solid biblical foundation for this. So the question is, what does Scripture actually say about this? Well, there are a couple of passages that are used as what we call proof texts for this particular position, the idea that some of the gifts aren't for today. And one of those passages is found at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to listen to what Paul says. Verse 8, he says, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now, what's Paul saying? He's saying here that there will come a time when these gifts will no longer be necessary, right? They will pass away. He said, when does he say they'll pass away? When the perfect comes. Now, I'm not even going to dig into how we could possibly interpret that as something that's already occurred. But what I will say is this. Any time that we look at a passage of Scripture and we want to use that to support our case, we want to use it as a proof text, we have to look at it in its context. What is it really talking about? So what is Paul talking about in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Paul is talking about the supremacy of love over the spiritual gifts. He says love never ends. Love will never pass away. We are going to be loving God and loving each other for all of eternity. And yes, the gifts of the Spirit will no longer be necessary, but love will last. So this passage, when we look at it, it's all about love. It's not really about when, putting a timeline on it and saying when the gifts will cease. Here's the thing. Very, very simply put, the Bible does not teach anywhere specifically that the gifts of the Spirit, even the sign gifts, have already ceased. Okay? So there's nothing clear in Scripture that we can build that viewpoint upon. So what I would say is very simply, if the Holy Spirit chooses to give a particular sign gift, that's up to Him. All right? Now, number two, question that kind of ties in with it is this. What about the gift of prophecy? All right? Prophecy is one of those, again, those questionable gifts today. Listen to this. This is from Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. John writes this. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now that is a pretty strong, pretty stern warning, isn't it? You know, this is the passage of Scripture that has stood as a warning against anyone adding to or taking away from the Word of God as we have it in its completed form. And again, even looking at this passage, we do have to be careful about context. But I will say, I totally agree with that warning. We don't want to add or take away anything from the Word of God. The Bible, as we have it today, in its present form, as it was originally written, is the complete will of God for the salvation of men, and it is our only rule of Christian faith and practice. So says the statement of faith of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Amen. All right? I agree with that 100%. But the question that I have is this. Is that really what the gift of prophecy implies? All right? The word prophecy itself means to make clear. All right? That's what prophecy is. Yeah, obviously, in the context of Scripture, it means to make clear the word or the will of God. For instance, in the Old Testament, you read the prophets many times over when they prophesied, they would begin by saying this, thus saith the Lord, right? You'd hear read something like that. Well, the idea of prophecy has both a forthtelling, a proclamation aspect, and it has a foretelling, a revelation aspect. But does that mean that the gift of prophecy is the equivalent of writing Scripture? And that's the question that I have. Let me ask you this a different way. If prophecy, the gift of prophecy, if that equals the Word of God, which equals Scripture, then why would God have given just average members of the local church the gift of prophecy if that prophecy was not ever intended to be part of the canon of Scripture? All right, now, that's maybe a little bit oversimplified, or actually maybe the opposite. I just may have confused all of you, okay? And I understand this. Since the early church didn't have what we have today, they didn't have the Bible in their hands like we do today, they would have needed prophets, right? But is it wrong for someone then today to say, you know what, I really feel that the Lord has told me this. I really feel that the Lord, this is what the Lord says we need to do. God has a message for us today. Is it wrong for someone to say that? As long as that message falls completely in line with the teaching of Scripture. Now, that's just something to think about. I'm not going to give you a definitive answer on that. I just want you to really process that, understanding what is prophecy? What is it really about? Well, there's another controversial question that comes with these sign gifts, and that is the gift of tongues for today? And I'll just give you a real simple answer for that one. My answer to that would be yes, okay? But a more controversial question would be, is the gift of tongues for everyone? Now remember, we've talked a little bit about this. There are those who teach that the gift of tongues is the sign gift. That means it is the gift that validates the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, they would say, you speak in tongues. And most of the time, they will point to the book of Acts and the experiences that are recorded in the book of Acts as evidence for that. Now, we've already talked a little bit about this to some extent, and the fact that not every experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's recorded in Acts also included the gift of tongues. But I want you to look at something with me at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to keep in mind here, again, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is referring to the gift of tongues as a sign gift, a manifestation gift. Now, what he's saying here in this passage is it doesn't mean that sign gift applies to everyone. Look at verse 27. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. What's he talking about? He's talking about the ministry gifts, right? Then he says miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And what are all of these gifts that he's listing here? What are they for? They're for building up the body of Christ. All right? We all agree on that. But then Paul says this. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And what is the obvious answer to these questions? No. Right? Paul is asking questions where the obvious implied answer to each one of these questions is no. And then he goes on, do all work miracles? No. Do all possess the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? And again, the answer is no. Do all interpret? No. But he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Which ones? The ones that are going to benefit the body of Christ more. Desire those gifts. Seek those gifts. Use those gifts. Now, here is the most important factor in all of this, okay? This is the one truth that we have to come back to, that we have to stand firmly on if we are truly going to understand the spiritual gifts at all and how they're supposed to be used in the church. And that's verse 11. He says, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So, when it comes to understanding the spiritual gifts, first of all, I don't have to worry about which gifts are for today and which gifts aren't for today. I don't have to bother myself with that question. I don't have to worry about whether the Holy Spirit wants to give me a ministry gift or whether he wants to give me a sign gift to be used. I don't have to worry about it. I don't even have to worry about whether the gift that God wants to give me and wants me to use is even on one of these lists. Let me ask you something. Do you think that the three lists that Paul gives, do you think they are exhaustive lists? Do you think that the Holy Spirit is actually limited to these 20-some-odd gifts that are listed in these three passages of Scripture? Why do you think Paul didn't just write the same list of gifts to each one of the churches? Because they weren't meant to be an exhaustive list, all right? Think about something. Old Testament saint, if Samson, all right, the judge, if Samson had a what we would call a spiritual gift, a supernatural gift, a gift that was given to him by the Holy Spirit, one that he regularly used in service to God and to God's people, what was Samson's spiritual gift? Samson had super strength. Now you got to think about this. That's pretty cool, isn't that? You know, if the Holy Spirit wanted to give you the gift of super strength, now I'm not expecting that, but hey, the point is, if God wants to give you a gift, it doesn't matter what that gift is. What matters is, you know, it's up to Him to give you whatever gift that He wants to give you. What matters is it's up to you to use what He gives you. All right? So here's the question that we've kind of been waiting for. How do I discover, if I've got this spiritual gift inside of me, the Holy Spirit's there and He's got this gift for me to use in the church, then how do I discover my spiritual gift? And rather than giving you a test to find out what your spiritual gift is, I just want to give you some very simple steps of obedience to take. And if you look at the examples in Scripture, if you look at what the Scripture really teaches, you'll find that the early believers, they didn't have to take any tests. They didn't really have to do a lot of searching in order to discover their spiritual gift. It was a very natural process to give them a supernatural gift. But the first thing that I want to say about this is it all begins with having the right attitude. If you really want to discover what your spiritual gift is, you have to start by having the right heart. Now, if you remember a few weeks back, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that means. And we asked that question, you know, how do I experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And if you want to compare notes between what I'm going to tell you right now and what I talked about a few weeks ago with that, you're going to find that these steps are almost parallel. All right? Because again, it all begins with having the right attitude. And the first key to understanding your spiritual gift is to have an attitude of surrender. Very simple. Holy Spirit, have your will and your way in my life. If I truly want to discover what my spiritual gift is, I need to have an attitude of absolute surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit in my life. I have got to be willing not only to accept how He wants to work in my life, but I need to be willing to do whatever it is that He's going to call me to do. So I really, if I'm gonna find out what that gift is and start using it, then number one, I've got to be ready. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, have your way. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Well, the second thing is also another attitude that I've got to have, all right? And that is I have to have an attitude of submission. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul tells us that we need to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And understand, keep in mind, that attitude of submission simply means that I need to be willing to look out for the best interest of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember what the spiritual gifts are all about. They are for building up the body of Christ. If I am seeking a spiritual gift simply for my own benefit, then I'm totally missing the point. And I will never be able to discover what my spiritual gift is. The only way that I can do that is if I am ready to serve my brother and sister in Christ. So I need to have that attitude of submission, and I need to have that attitude of surrender to the Holy Spirit. Third thing I want to tell you to do is ask. Very simple. Ask God. Pray about it earnestly. But don't just ask God this. Don't just say ask this question. You know, what is my spiritual gift? Show me my spiritual gift. Or don't ask God. Say, you know, Lord, give me a gift that I can use. No, ask God this question: how do you want to use me, Lord? What do you want to do with my life? You know, and then ask Him to fill you with His Spirit and empower you for service. And then ask Him to give you the gift that will help you accomplish His will. And then, fourth thing, act. Act. And here's the thing. Taking action, actually stepping up and serving and doing something, you may not even know at that point what your spiritual gift is. All right? I think sometimes we get the idea that I've got to sit over here and I've got to get this all sorted out and figured out what is my spiritual gift. And then I can do something. Then I'll know, okay, this is the right place for me to plug in. No, It actually, most of the time, you talk to people who actually can say, you know, this is what my, what's your spiritual gift? Well, here's what my spiritual gift is. I can tell you. You know, you ask these folks, and you will find out more often than not that the place where they truly discovered what their spiritual gift was when they were in the middle of serving. When they had already committed to serve, and then all of a sudden, either in their own life they were able to see it, or more often than not, somebody else was able to look at their life and say, you know what, I see this gift in you. And they look and say, you know what, you're right, because that's not me, that's God. All right, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we see a need in the body of Christ, we have to be ready and willing to step up. We may not feel equipped at that moment, we may not feel prepared, but this is where dependence upon the Holy Spirit, not self-dependence, comes in. Remember this, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. All right, so keep that in mind. Just be willing to step out in faith, step out in obedience, and it'll be amazing to see how the Holy Spirit gifts you specifically to do what He's called you to do. Now, I want to close this morning by giving you a little story, telling you a little story that has to do with how God can choose to gift His people, gift us, any way, at any time, in any way that He chooses, when we simply put ourselves in His hand and say, Lord, use me. All right? And this story comes from my uncle, who served for 40 years as a missionary in Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, as we used to call it, in Africa. He was a missionary with the CNMA. And this story comes firsthand from him. Several years back, an Alliance pastor, a fellow who I also know, so I know the story there as well, he was on the field with my uncle, and they were holding evangelistic services in the villages where my uncle was ministering. And every night, this man would get up to preach. He'd have a translator right there with him. And the translator would step up and he'd start preaching and he'd say a few lines and stop, and then the translator would translate his English into French, and they would just go back and forth like that. Every night it was the same thing, village to village. And one night they were in a certain village and they had just had this at least an hour long, because that's the way they do it in Africa, that's the way they roll. They had this worship service going on for at least an hour, and the man gets up to speak. He steps up to the podium, and this translator is right there with him, and he begins to speak, but the translator never said a word. The man just kept on preaching and kept on preaching, and this American pastor, who didn't know a lick of French, was speaking it fluently. And at the end of his message, he sat down, and the translator stood there and looked at him, and all of a sudden, it became apparent. And you know what happened? Revival. Revival broke out in that church, and dozens of people came forward, gave their lives to Christ. God had given this man a particular gift. Now, again, I know the fellow, and I don't think he would probably tell you that he had, quote, the gift of tongues. But in that moment, God gave him the gift that he wanted to have to use him for that specific purpose, and it brought glory to God, and people's lives were changed. All right? God still works in our lives in that way, when we're simply willing to let Him use us. When we put ourselves in His hands, you know what, folks? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to take a test and figure out, okay, which spiritual gift do I have? Because He's going to gift you. And you will know it. And the people around you will know it. And they'll be able to point and say, you know what? It's amazing seeing what God has been able to do in you and through you by His Holy Spirit who's alive in us. It's an amazing thing. So the thing I want to encourage you is this. Don't question what the Holy Spirit can do. Don't worry about, is this gift for today? Is this gift not for today? Don't worry about what He might do in you. Just put yourself in His hands. Make yourself available to Him and ask Him to fill you and to use you for His glory. And then use whatever He gives you to make a difference for His kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the way that You gift Your church. even as Paul teaches and talks about what these gifts are for and for building up the body, and he says, you know, there are people who are hands and feet, and there are people who are eyes and ears, and Father, there are people who are other things. But Lord, you have put your body together in a specific way, and you have gifted each one of us to use our gifts to build your kingdom and to bring honor to the name of Jesus. And you do it through your Holy Spirit, who is alive, who is living in each one of us. And the simple truth is, Lord, if we were just to step out of the way and let your Spirit have his will and his way, you would accomplish so much more in your church. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who, first of all, who may be wondering and questioning, what is my spiritual gift? Lord, I just pray that they would simply put themselves in your hands and trust you, and Father, step out in obedience and serve. Lord, I pray that as we minister together, that we are going to be making disciples, that we are going to be investing in the lives of our children and our teens and our adults, Lord, but making a difference for the kingdom as your Holy Spirit accomplishes his will through us. So, Lord, fill us and gift us and use us. And, Father, for those who are here, maybe this is their church family, but they haven't really taken that active step to say, I'm ready to serve. Lord, I just pray that as they ask you, you would encourage them. Give them clarity. Help them to see where they fit in and where they serve, and use what you give them, again, to build up the body of Christ. And it's all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.